Psalm chapter number 29, all right? And we'll read the entire psalm. There's 11 verses, and we'll read it this morning in its entirety and then try to bring the thought that the Lord has laid on our heart for today. He says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in His temple doth every one speak of His glory. The Lord setteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord setteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." Now may the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His word this morning. Our Father, thank You for the privilege of being in Sunday school. Help us now as we instruct in the word of God. I pray that You'll give our hearts, Lord, a diligent search today. Help us and remind us of our sin. I pray, Lord, that You'll help us today to instruct in the word of righteousness and bless us as we look at this scripture together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, looking at the title of this psalm, fellas, number 29, we find once again that it is simply another psalm of David, which the title reveals only that it was a song written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. But I think the contents in their description here are really vivid. And we ought to make no mistake about this, that these verses march to the tune of the thunderbolts. If the writer said, if Psalm 9 should be read at night when the moon shines brightly and the stars glitter in all their glory, and Psalm 19 should be read by day, when the sun rays glisten from on high in heaven, then this psalm ought to be studied during the gloom of the tempest, when the thunder rolls and the lightnings flash and the terrors of the Lord are on every side. Gentlemen, I want to take that thought and try to bring us some sort of a Sunday school lesson this morning on this particular thought: Jesus rides the storm. I'm glad, thank God, that when the storms come, that Jesus rides in the midst of the storm. Our text would come really out of verse number 10, "The Lord setteth upon the flood." If you read, I think it's up in, is it in verse number 3? "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters." But in verse number 10, "The Lord setteth upon the flood." That is to say that the Lord rides in the storm with us. Now, I'm not taking this thought off the top of my head. Every commentator that I read after in preparation for this is in full agreement that David is here describing some tremendous storm that he has eyewitnessed in his life. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. We'll get into the psalm itself and look at this tremendous storm that David so vividly pictures here in the Word of God to give you and I inspiration from and to bless us and help us. Realizing, gentlemen, that just like there are natural storms in our physical life, there's going to come spiritual storms as well. An application can be made and many truths can be drawn from the Word of God on the nature itself and upon the storms that we face. You know, Miss Hall and I came back from Alabama on Friday night, and I'm talking about a tremendous rain shower. I mean, the winds blew. They talked about having 80-mile-an-hour winds, and the rain came down. And to top it all off, the stupid truck quit running, and I stood outside in a thunderstorm for 40 minutes on the telephone. Somebody said, "Did you lose your salvation?" I thought I was going to. Amen. But I believe I made it through it. Amen. It was a trying experience, but we got the truck here. Amen. And left the rain showers down there. But you know, I got to thinking about this, and these are my own notes now. I got to thinking about this, of the types of storms that we may encounter as a child of God, and how they can be applied to the storms of nature itself, or the storms that God permits to come. And by the way, gentlemen, let's not cuss the rain. Rain comes from God. And let's not cuss the weather, because He's the one that designates what kind of weather we have. Somebody said, "Oh, we don't need all this rain." Oh, yes, we do, or God wouldn't be sending it our way. He does all things well. God knows exactly what He's doing. He's never made a mistake now, and God does all things well. And so, with that in mind, I want to mention, before we ever get into the text, some things about storms. I thought about the types of storms that we encounter in nature. And I thought about ice storms. You know, there are ice storms. I read in a magazine years ago, the kids, when they come at the house, still look at that magazine. But it had pictures of various storms in that magazine. And one of them in particular was an ice storm that fell in Cheyenne, Wyoming a few years ago. And in the pictures, it showed ice 3 feet deep in the streets of Cheyenne, Wyoming. It showed automobiles where that ice had fell and lifted the automobiles up, turned some of them over. It showed the ice being as high as wooden fences and picket fences around some of the homes. And some of the people had to abandon their lower level of their house and to go to the second story in order to escape the devastation of that storm. And so ice storms come. Who was it? I talked on the phone. It might have been Brother Smith last night. It might have been. Said that they had 2 inches of sleet somewhere just yesterday. 2 inches of sleet on the highway. So ice storms do come. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what's that got to do with us?" Buddy, ice storms usually mean it's cold, gentlemen. And that's right. You mark her down as God's children. We're going to have ice storms in our life. When our hearts grow kind of cold, you know, and we kind of get kind of accustomed to a worship service, and maybe the Bible a reading becomes a kind of a drag to us, and singing in the church is a kind of a boring to us, and maybe the preaching don't exactly hit us where it ought to and tickle our innards like a good Mountain Dew, and we'll try to blame the problem on everything and everybody, when really the problem is that we're encountering an ice storm in our very life. Hey, let me leave you with this thought on that God rides the storm, gentlemen. He sets on many waters. And God knows exactly what it takes in your life to get you from point A to point B. And God knows what it takes in your life to keep you where you ought to be for the glory of God. He's not going to let you be aflame all the time. There's going to be some things in your life that will cause your heart to grow cold toward God. But I'm glad that He rides a storm. Now, notice too that sometimes there are thunderstorms. Now, if you read here in our text, in verse 3, He said there, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The Lord of glory thundereth." There's no doubt that David, when watching this storm and writing this psalm down, sat there in probably the safety of his home and heard the great thunder and saw the lightning flashing. In fact, I know there was lightning flashing, because in verse number 7, he said, "The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire." Buddy, I'll tell you, I've seen some thunderstorms in Arizona, and some lightning storms. And buddy, you've never seen lightning until you have seen it displayed on the desert floor where everything is flat. Honey, it looks like it's coming right down to the ground where you're living. I'm talking about right down into your home. I mean, it is a real, a fearful looking sight to see that, hear that thunder crashing and that lightning flashing in Tucson, Arizona. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some storms, fellas, where the thunder's going to roll. And the lightning's going to flash. What is that song? I've heard the thunder crashing, I've seen the lightning crashing, or heard the thunder roll, or something like that, and we sang that song. But I'm telling you, buddy, it will be a reality in your soul. There will be storms that the thunder will be so loud and the lightning will be so severe that, buddy, it may cause you to find refuge somewhere. Amen. I'll never forget the night a year ago in March when we was having the last night of our revival meeting, buddy, and the lightning hit us twice. I don't know if you men know that, but the engineer concluded that lightning got us twice in the electrical portion of the building. It blowed out that plug in the control room as well as in the audio part of WSOF when it come in by the tire. And honey, I'm telling you, when that lightning bolt rolled up both these hallways, old Brother Hall, being an old Vietnam veteran, I just about kissed the carpet standing right back in there in that aisle over on that way. Amen. I'm telling you, God, hey, the storms of life, gentlemen, spiritually speaking, can make it rough on you to cause you to look for a place of shelter in your life. And I'll get back to that in just a moment now. I think of windstorms. There's windstorms. You know, I mean, all kind of them, hurricanes, and just high winds, gusty winds. There's tornadoes. Hey, and everybody's scared to death. And tornadoes now can carry some damaging wind. They're a terrifying thing. But you know, I read in a book one time. Now, get this now. I read in a book one time, and this has been years ago, where that many times tornadoes, when they form a funnel cloud, that book said that they'll just jump up and down in the air and never touch anything. Now, you need to get a hold of that. That's the way most storms are in our life as a child of God. They jump up and down, but they never touch anything. Amen. They'll scare you to death, fill you full of fear, yes, but they'll never touch anything in your life. Somebody said, why, Brother Hawk? Because Jesus rides the storm. Amen. Hallelujah to God. He's right there in the midst of the whirlwind, jumping up and down with it. Amen. Thanks be unto God, brethren. Yes, sir. I tell you, when Jesus is riding the storm, it'll cause fears and doubts that arise. He'll dismiss them in a moment, amen, and send sweet peace. He said in verse number 11, that the Lord will bless His people with peace. Yes, I saw a thing, somebody sent me a thing in the paper that was taken, I don't know, overseas somewhere, they said, in a storm, and said it showed a picture of Jesus. It did look like the image of Jesus that they put out in pictures and things, worldly pictures of Him today. And they talked about how Jesus was there in the storm. Now, I don't know about all that, about that picture, but I do know that He's in the storms of life that come our way. But Jesus told Peter, He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Son, you mark her down, old Peter encountered some storms in his life, buddy. Amen. That the devil was using to attempt to sift him, but God used them for His glory to strengthen Peter. In fact, Jesus said, when thou art converted, Peter, strengthen thy brethren. Amen. That's right. I think about rainstorms. Buddy, they can come. I think about snowstorms. Everybody knows they can develop pretty fast. Do a lot of damage. Amen. Now, there are some spiritual applications, gentlemen, to many of the storms that we encounter in our life. And I think in rain or snowstorms, our vision may become limited. Miss Hall and I was driving back from Alabama on Friday night. And buddy, that rain started coming down, and the windows of that old U-Haul truck began to fog. And it wouldn't run 50 mile an hour falling off of Mount Eagle anyway. I mean, it's a dog. That's gotten a dead one at that. And it wouldn't run 50 mile an hour. But I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, when that rain began to fall and the wind began to blow and sweep that rain across the highway in front of me, my vision became very limited. I began to back off the accelerator pedal and begin to slow down. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, gentlemen, in storms in our life, maybe when our vision will become impaired and limited, we may not see everything like we'd like to see them,
But I'll guarantee you, if we'll just keep moving for God at a steady pace, that there'll come a time when we'll arrive at the destination that God intends us to arrive at. Miss Hall and I had no fear, buddy. We weathered the storm and moved right on into Madisonville. But it did impair our vision. It was limited. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm having troubles and trials and tribulations and of life, and there's things involved in my life that I don't understand, and I just don't see things as clearly as I ought to see them. Then rejoice, gentlemen, and give God the glory, because Jesus is riding the storm with you. Amen. And then I thought also that in various kinds of storms, traveling can become very dangerous. It can get dangerous. I saw trucks pulled off to the edge of the road, cars pulled up under overpasses. I saw folks coming to a complete stop. And gentlemen, hey, I say this right here, and I may repeat it again. Storms in your life, you better move very cautiously, because traveling is dangerous. You ever read Acts chapter number 27? What happened to old brother Paul on the way to Rome? And he said that they left, made their departure, and encountered some sort of a little storm, and the storm brought them to a place where they had to dock the ship. They had to dock the ship and go ashore. They even had to do some repair work on the ship. Get this now. And he said, hey, that it wasn't long after that a soft wind blew softly, and they thought they had obtained their course, and they departed from where they were, and it wasn't long till they met a storm called Euroclydon, the worst that they could encounter. And look here, before they ever left on that, Paul warned that captain of that ship and the crew. He said, you better stay in dock, because the time, and I'll just paraphrase it. He said, the fast is over, and traveling or sailing is now dangerous on the sea. You better, hey gentlemen, it may not be a bad idea in your life when storms hit you to pull in, to let out your anchor and let the anchor down deep and hold you in the safe haven of rest that you're in, and forget about traveling, because traveling can become dangerous when the storms are. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, gentlemen, that when storms in our life and troubles and heartaches and this nature in our life, we better take time to anchor in at the haven of rest and wallow at the feet of Jesus and not worry about growing or maturing or moving in our spiritual life. Amen. That's right. Now notice right on with me here. Go right on down the line. Some storms will slow us down. Many may even have us to stop. I thought about some snowstorms. And Brother Messick was telling me this, said it's nothing out west in places like Montana when they receive a large snow just to simply be driving down the interstate. And I don't know if you've ever been out west, but on many of the interstates out there, they've got cattle crossings right on the highways, on the main highway. He said it wouldn't be nothing to come to a place in that highway out in the middle of nowhere where the storm and the snow has covered the road, and they'll just put a gate across that road and put a sign on it, road closed. Now, hey, I'm telling you, gentlemen, that God will close the roads of travel for us by the storms that we encounter. And you are an absolute fool to tear the roadblock down and try to plow through the storm yourself and get to the destination you've been trying to get to. Son, you better take some advice from God, and when the road close sign is put out in your life, you better just come to a stop and find you a refuge and hold up right there for a while until God pulls the roadblock down and lets you go on. You know, I heard Brother Raines this morning. And buddy, I'm telling you, talking about plowing in some deep furrows, bless God, he's plowing in some deep ditches. Amen, son. He's got to plow down under the root, son, in Pleasant View Baptist Church. I don't know what else is going on. But you know something? I can't help but to believe, every time I hear Brother Raines and some of the things he's preaching, I can't help but to believe that there's some young preacher in that church that is doing his best to buck the will of God for his life, and that God is trying to slow that. Now, I don't know that. I'm just saying I feel like it may be that. I'm saying, gentlemen, that God will put up roadblocks in our life by the storms we encounter, and we better take the wise counsel of God and realize that that what we're attempting may not be the will of God for our particular life. Oh, hey, it's not easy to discern that. Sometimes it's the devil. Sometimes it's God. But I'm reminded this morning that the devil can do nothing without God's permission. So it may be wise, gentlemen, to investigate and examine every situation of life very carefully before we proceed any further. If the storms have stopped us, it may be the will of God for you to turn your vehicle around on a highway and travel any other direction for a while. But you know how we are? I'm going to do it. If it kills me, I'll do it. You know what that's called? Self-will, gentlemen. I'll have my way or nothing else. Gentlemen, we better find out what God's way is and have it God's way. Amen. Yes, sir. Hey, some storms may even force us to look for a shelter. We pulled into that Burger King and that little old gasoline station, Sit-Go or whatever it was, and as a combined there, two of them together, and I sat there for 2 hours, and the rain kept a pouring, and that old truck wouldn't run. Miss Hall and I sat in that van, and she said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "If the rain don't stop, I know what I'm going to do. And if the man don't get here quick, I know what I'm going to do." She said, "What?" I said, "See that Holiday Inn Express?" I said, "That's exactly where the roadman's going to find Brother Hall, buddy, when he gets here." Hey, man, be a fool, gentlemen, to proceed under those kind of conditions, realizing that it's dangerous. His life may very well be damaged by it. In fact, you can lose your life while you're traveling in dangerous weather. I'm telling you, gentlemen, that you can lose your spiritual life while traveling in stormy weather. If you're not careful, God may be trying to give you a refuge to find some shelter for your life. Huh? That's right. I said, if that guy don't get here in a minute, they'll find me at that Holiday Inn. I know there's a hot bathtub in there. Whew, hallelujah to God. Good soft bed to lay down in. Amen. Probably find a good hot cup of espresso coffee down in the lobby of it. You can't never tell in the morning they might have that continental breakfast and have donuts and rolls and coffee and juice and syrup, milk, and cappuccino and all that stuff. Hey, look here, fellas. Wouldn't you rather be holding up in a place like that than you would be out traipsing through the storm, out through the snow, the wind, the rain, all that foul weather, try to put on raincoats? Hey, look here. We'll try to put on every kind of old physical protection and fleshly protection we can from the storm when God may be trying to get our attention to the point that we'll pull her off on the sideline and camp out for a while. I got up yesterday morning, boys, and that looked outside, and I heard that wind. Whoo, 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 and them clouds are rolling. I said, Miss Hall, said, "Well, what do you think it's going to do?" She said, "Hey, we're in Kentucky. I don't know what the weather's going to do." She said, "What are you going to do today?" I said, "Well, them fellas talked about unloading that wood out of that truck. But I said, I'm telling you right now, if the wind's going to blow like that, and I'm already shivering here in the basement, it's cold in here, I know what I'm going to do. I'm staying in today." I went to the mailbox and went after a loaf of bread. Other than that, I didn't move yesterday. I read my Bible and read books all day and all night up to 10 o'clock last night. Hey, I'm just telling you, gentlemen, that I found a safe shelter where I was warm, comfortable, and safe, and I stayed there. And when the storms land, you'd be better off to find a place of shelter where it's warm, comfortable, and safe, and stay there. That's right. These glasses are dirty. I keep a fiddling with them. They won't get clean. I put my hands on them. Hey, listen now. Traveling in stormy weather can cause nervous tension, anxiety, and even fear. Ain't that right? How many ever driven in a bad snowstorm? You're always conscious that that little truck's going to slip around sideways. Huh? And you're going to be in a ditch or you might have it on your mind that some other nut is going to top over a hill, Brother Mark, running about 100 miles an hour when he ain't. Hey, that's what you run into in a storm. You'll find that nut out there, fellas, that don't know how to conduct himself in the storm. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. Some fella tried to pass Brother Mark today. We was trying to get this footer out here done. Come out around it, running like a fool in the pour down snow and the sleet and the rain and everything. Went to spinning sideways, hooked the fender of his pickup truck and tore the whole fender plumb off of it. Hey, Brother Mark was just traveling along at a cautious rate. Hey, gentlemen, but in the storm, there's other folks out there with you. What I'm saying, you better watch out for the other guy. Amen. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying watch out for the other guy. In other words, you better watch creeping off into a back room getting counsel from somebody else. You better be careful of listening to another preacher. I'm going to say this. The man's gone. I'm going to say it. And because God's laid it on my heart, gentlemen, I just preach what God's laid on my heart. I couldn't believe what Brother Steve told me the other day about a former pastor in this area. It blowed my mind. He told Brother Steve, said, hey, I'm so experienced in the Word of God. Said, sometimes it don't take me but 10 minutes to put a message together. Now, I'm going to tell you what, gentlemen. That fella in the storm's dangerous. Hear what I'm saying? A man that is a preacher and will tell folks that it takes him no longer than 10 minutes to get something from God and preach something to a congregation of people is, like Brother Rain said this morning, an F-O-O-L, a fool. Amen. Son, I'm telling you, it takes time to study the Bible. It takes time to prepare your heart. Somebody said, you preparing a message? No, sir. I'm trying to prepare my heart to deliver a message. God's already laid on it. That's the problem with most men today. They prepare a message, but they never prepare their heart. I like what Brother Gene Mathias used to say. I'd kid around and say, Brother Gene, you got an outline? I need an outline. He'd say, you better get in line, young man. Huh? He's telling it right, too. Buddy, it's good to have a thought and develop a thought and write down notes. But I'm telling you, fellas, if you ain't got her in the heart, you ain't got her. Amen. Now, I'll say it again during the preaching hour. But to illustrate what I'm telling you, I spent all day yesterday. Fellas, I'm not talking about 30 minutes. I'm talking about all day to 10 o'clock last night preparing what to try to preach to you this morning. And at 10 minutes after 8 this morning, God said, no, I said unto God. What am I going to do, Lord? He said, just twist all these thoughts you've been praying about in another direction and preach her in another light. And so, in essence, there in about an hour and a half, I did put some notes together. But the message has been in my heart for 4 days. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? God sure did change my mind, gentlemen. Big time. I'm talking about big time. I was going to preach one thing this morning, and around the lines I'm going to preach on this morning, I was going to preach tonight. God said, no, you ain't. Just put them both together and rear back and let her go. I couldn't get no peace about it. Amen. That's the difference, fellas, in putting a message down and getting something in your heart and preaching it. Huh? Now, but don't traveling in stormy weather, don't it get you kind of nervous? Kind of fearful, ain't it? You never know what's going to happen. Scooting and sliding in the snow, wallowing in the ice, blinded by the rain. Don't tell me it don't get you kind of nervous and make you grip that steering wheel just a little tighter. Huh? Make you keep your eyes on the road. I guarantee you, fellas, you won't be looking at no road signs. No, sir. The only road sign I was interested in on Friday night was Madisonville exit 44. That's all I was interested in. Are y'all listening now? Hey, if we're not forced to stop, we should at least proceed with great caution. I've already mentioned that. Hey, now get this, fellas. Better hang on right here. The devastating effects of the storm that the storm leaves behind often requires lengthy cleanup procedures. How long do you think it's going to take them to clean up Brother Paul's church? Brother Smith told me that some of you men have been there, that the basement is still there, but all that's on that top floor above it is the church pew sitting on the floor and part of that little glassed-in back foyer, and all the rest of it's gone. Hey, it's going to take some time, gentlemen, to clean it up before they can ever start rebuilding. What about Brother Gentry? Two buildings, totally demolished, sitting side by side. He'll no doubt want to build back. It's going to take some clean-up time. Hey, I'm talking about lengthy clean-up time in detail. Hard work, labor, and toil to get that building back to its original condition. And fellas, when the storm lands and we don't handle her in the right perspective, it may take a while to clean our lives back up and start building our life for God all over again. If you don't find the right shelter, if you don't find the refuge, if you don't seek that safety that God gives, I'm glad, thank God, Jesus rides in the storm with us. He'll be that refuge for you if you'll let Him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let's get to the psalm. Let's notice some things about this, and we'll be done here in just a minute. I want to say, first of all, that during the storm, according to our text, that the Lord speaks to us out of the storm.
Amen.
Jim, would please. Verse number 3, the voice of the Lord. Notice verse number 4 twice, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Notice verse number 5, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 7, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 8, the voice of the Lord. Verse number 9, the voice of the Lord. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that He speaks out of the storm. He speaks out of the whirlwind. He speaks to us in stormy weather. And gentlemen, by the way, most of the time when spiritual storms are encountered in our life, God is doing it to try to get our attention because we've been too hard-headed to listen to what God had to say before the storm ever hit. Now, did you get a hold of that? I'm telling you, we're a hard-headed lot of people. And hard-hearted. And sometimes, boys, God's got to bring the storms across from the waters down through Lebanon and up through the mountains of out across the valleys of the wilderness of Kadesh in order to get our attention, that we might be willing. Hey, sometimes God will put a man or a woman on their back and the only way they can look is up. God does that to get their attention. Huh? That's right. If you're God's child, He's got something to say to you. And if the only way He can get your attention is through trouble and hardships and dangerous days, then He'll do that. But He'll do it to speak. My question is, have you been listening? Have you been listening? Hey, how many times in the book of the Revelation in the seven churches does John, the beloved apostle, say, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches? How many times in Matthew 13 does our Lord say, hear and understand? Hear, hear, hear. Why hear? Why speak? Hey, ain't but one reason? Faith. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And He's either trying to give you faith in Him or to strengthen the faith that you already have in Him. Amen. Amen. The Lord speaks, gentlemen, out of the storm. Do you know when Israel was crossing the Red Sea and that pillar of fire come up before them and went down and sat down between them and Egypt? It was a whirlwind of fire, a pillar of fire. You know the Bible said that God looked out of that fire? Now I'm going to tell you, to Egypt it was a storm, buddy. But to God's people it was a wall of safety. You better hear me well. That storm, friend, can either be a storm to you or a wall of safety to you, one of the two. Huh? Are y'all getting anything at all? My God, I'm a wondering. The Lord speaks to us out of the storm.
I want to say and I want to say number two, that the Lord sits or rides with us through the storm. Look at verse number 10. The Lord setteth upon the flood. The Lord setteth king forever. Oh, what a glorious thought that is, gentlemen. Amen. That I don't have to walk through this thing alone. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He's a present help in trouble. Amen. And man that is born a woman is a few days and full of them troubles. Hey, some of y'all in here right now that's having some real difficulties. I'll say this. I'm not on air. Brother Ricky's having some real difficulties on the job. I mean, in fact, his life's been threatened. Huh? They blew up a bomb just a few feet away from him. Grabbed him the other night. Threatened him. Threw paper in his face. Planned on getting him. Huh? Planned on getting him. I got news for them. They might. But son, they have to go through God to get him. God rides a storm. I'm telling you, I ain't running from no man. I don't give a flip how big he is. I ain't running from no man. Son, I've had him to call me, threaten to kill me, drag me out in the road and whoop me and everything else. And I'm still here. And I've not suffered a broken bone yet. I may one of these days, but as of right now, I'm intact. Huh? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus rides the storm, buddy. Thank God that we've got a shelter and a refuge to run to, gentlemen. And by the way, He's the designer of the storms. Amen. He sits down and makes the plan for them. And commands the wind to blow and commands the wind to shut up. He commands the rain to fall and the clouds to disappear. That's right. He commands the snow to fall and the snow to melt. I'm telling you, God be God in the storm. Let God be God in your life. Hallelujah. Then, notice this in verse number 11. The Lord strengthens us because of the storm. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord will give strength, gentlemen, during the storm. He's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to make you a strong pillar that can stand. And when that tornado's a-blowing, you can just stand there like a rock. When those 90-mile-an-hour winds from the devil's a-blowing, you can just stand there like a rock of Gibraltar. Look here, gentlemen. I've seen a whole lot of wooden structures fall under the heavy load of the wind, but I ain't never seen a rock fall. Amen. Now I'm glad we's on the rock.
Amen.
And my mind's made up.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. The Lord strengthens. Hey, if you'll let God, He'll strengthen your faith.
Right.
He'll strengthen your spiritual life. He'll strengthen your home. He'll strengthen your character. He'll strengthen your judgment. God will strengthen every aspect of your spiritual life during the storm if you let Him. I guarantee you that, and I'm not much, but I'm telling you, I can look back at the storms that I've encountered at Island Ford Baptist Church, and I can see the hand of God in them, and through them, I've watched God strengthen me as a Christian.
Amen.
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 There was a time when some of these storms, I'd like to have brought my own storm on. Got what I'd like to give some of the egg suckers sitting up by my bed. It's a police stick about that long, made out of solid white oak. About that big around, the strap in the end of it. But you know what? You know what? I've gotten to the point now, I don't want to hit nobody with a wooden stick. No, sir. The only stick they need is the cross. Amen. I want to see them saved by the grace of God. There was a time when there was animosity and vengeance in my heart. But God, through the storm, gentlemen, has strengthened me and grown me a little bit in grace and helped me to overcome those sins in my heart. Somebody said, well, I don't believe a Christian can have sin. Somebody fed you a lie. Amen. The Lord strengthens because of the storm. Now, I want to notice three things here, and we're closing. I want us, number one, and this is in the text, fellas, and it'll help you if you'll just get a hold of it. Notice, first of all, the path that the storm takes. Now, here's David sitting in his house. Hey, and what did I tell you a while ago? That God, before the storm comes, is trying to get your attention and speak to you, and you won't listen. Then the storm comes. That's the same way with all of us. The storm comes, and then God speaks out of the storm. Verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. David, first of all, there is glorifying God. And the reason he's doing that is because he's already heard the voice of God, gentlemen. Did not give it heed. But in the very next verse, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Now get this. In verse 3, we hear the first and yet the distant sounds of the thunder. And so many times, are y'all listening now? So many times, fellas, a storm can be heard before it can be seen. Sometimes you ought to be able to hear some things and realize that yonder, out on the ocean somewhere, there is a rumbling in the air. And you should have enough spirituality about you to detect that there could be a storm coming. And you can head that thing off right there if you want to. Huh? Now, I heard a little rumbling the last 4 or 5 days. It's all over that house up there in the thing called kitchen cabinets. Son, I'm telling you what, there ain't going to be no storms in my family over a stupid piece of oak wood. Huh? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you listening? Fellas, I'm going to tell you something. Most of the troubles we have at home are of our own making. Bullheaded. Self-willed. Arrogant. Despisable. Hateful. Having things our way. Hey, no respect. I like what Brother Rain said this morning. If you will love your wife and treat her like a thoroughbred, you'll not have a swayback nag 40 years from now. Amen. I'm being honest. Some men need to learn how to treat their wives, screaming, hollering, carrying on like a torn down, raving idiot. My God, man, you going to tell me that you love God and walking in the power and the fullness of the Holy Ghost, you screaming and hollering at your wife like an idiot? Sometimes amen said, and some of you fellas is in the van tooting the horn. Your wife's in here trying to fellowship and talking to you outside tooting the horn, trying to get her outside and go. And I know if it's that way here, it's that way at the house.
Amen. Amen.
Amen, Brother Hall.
Amen.
The path. First of all, look here. David heard it thundering out on the waters. He's looking out toward the ocean and he sees the storm coming. Out on the waters. He knows it's out there. He knows it's coming his direction. Notice in verse number 5, hey, the fury of the tempest is coming near yet and falls in the glory of Lebanon. In other words, look here. He said, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Those cedars are strong timbers. You know what David's saying here? David's saying, I saw the storm coming out on the waters. I heard it thunder. But now I'm beginning to see the devastating power and the effects of the storm as it begins breaking the strong things in my life. And it's not the strong spiritual things that he wants to break. It is the fleshly things, the strong cedars of Lebanon. I'm talking about self-will, gentlemen. Amen. I'm talking about a critical spirit and an attitude and a heart of animosity and despising the grace of God. I'm talking about a bad spirit. He sees the storm of breaking those things. Now notice the next place it comes. Notice the next place it comes. Notice in verse number 6. Next, gathering with wilder intensity of wrath, it bursts upon the mountain peaks, roaring amid their rocks and shattering them. In verse number 6, he said, he maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. You know what Lebanon and Sirion are? They're mountaintops, gentlemen. Look here. He sees that storm coming out yonder on the ocean and hears the thunder rolling. Next, he experiences that storm breaking apart those strong fleshly things of his life. But, oh, God's getting ready to bring him down to where God wants him. Next time, the thunder rolls and the lightning flashes on Mount Lebanon and Syria. In other words, God gets you right on the mountaintop where you're living.
Yes, sir.
Huh? That storm will get you right on the mountaintop, gentlemen. Man, I'm telling you, we've been having some good things at Island Ford Baptist Church, and I sit in awe and fear and trembling. I really do. I mean, I sit in fear and trembling because I wonder where the storm's going to break out at. Man, we've been having good fellowship, and the services of late ain't been all I'd like for them to be. I'd like to see the Spirit get a little higher, but God may be preparing us for something else. He may be holding the shouting down, getting ready and letting this little preaching soak in to prepare us for something else. But I'm simply saying, buddy, that the storm will get on the mountaintop where you're living.
Yes,
amen. Somebody said, how? Because it's got to get you down from there. You can't live up there all the time. Oh, no, sir. Can't live on top of the mountain all the time, gentlemen. Lightning flashing. Hey, somebody said, well, Brother Hall, it don't always get on the mountain. I've got news for you, buddy. Old Elijah headed for the mountain and crawled back in a cave, but God sent the wind, the earthquake, and the fire on the mountaintop. And finally spoke in a still, small voice.
Amen.
Are y'all listening now? Yes, sir. Hey, lastly, in this path, when we hear it sinking down into the valley there of the wilderness of Kadesh. Starts out on the ocean, we can hear the thunder a-rolling. She comes in and crashes into the cedars of Lebanon and then heads up toward the mountaintop to bring us down low. And then we see its devastating effect as it departs us and goes on out into the cedars of out into the wilderness of Kadesh. Somebody said, what does that mean, brother? I'm going to tell you exactly what it means. God lets you look at it when it's a coming and when it's a going, buddy, so you'll remember what it done in your life. Hey, don't you ever think, buddy, that Ruth, the Moabitess, and Naomi, from Bethlehem, Judah, when she got back to Bethlehem, Judah, I'll guarantee you that a number of times when the storm was past, yet God let her look back at where the storm had been. I'm telling you, God never let her forget you had a man and two boys buried down in Moab. Huh? That's right, ain't it? Now, there's the path of the storm. Notice the power of the storm in verse number 4. The voice of the Lord is powerful.
Amen.
The power of that storm. Gentlemen, don't underestimate it.
Right.
It can, it'll break you. Hey, you'll either find shelter or it'll break you.
Right.
You'll either find God in all this you're going through or it'll break you.
Right.
I'll guarantee you, it'll do it now. You can't stand out in the midst of it, fellas, without feeling the effects of it. It didn't take me long standing out in that thunderstorm by a pay telephone the other night. Wasn't even inside the booth. I'm talking about out in the rain. But it didn't take me long. And I had Miss Hall's umbrella. And I came back and she said, well, how wet are you? I said, from the hips down, I'm soaked. You can't stand the storm without experiencing the effects of it.
Amen.
The power, it'll get you. But thank God. Now look here. Here is the blessing of the whole text. Look at verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Jesus rides the storm, gentlemen. And there can be peace in the storm. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Huh? I wish I could think of the rest of it. I know them songs and get up here to sing them and forget them. Whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. I've heard the thunder crashing. I saw the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. Saw winds, breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul, gentlemen. But in it all, I've had sweet peace from God. Thank God there's peace in the storm, gentlemen.
Yes.
Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm glad. Thank God that the Jesus is the peace and our salvation, and He'll pass that peace onto our hearts. There's peace in life, even in the midst of the storm. Jesus, gentlemen, does ride.